want for Christmas this year?
What?
A big fat cock!
Oh!
In my ass!
He's playing some games, the worst he recalls. He's gonna find out which one sucked the most balls. The angry video game nerd is here. Oh, he's making a list and checking it twice. He's gonna go home and eat chicken and rice. The angry video game nerd is here. He hates the games that stink. He knows which games to break. He just might even hate them all, 'cause he's mad for fucking sake. You better watch out, don't give these games a try. You better not play them, he's telling you why. The angry video game nerd is here.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Grunt Free Press Podcast. That's right, the time of recording is December 25th, 2018 at approximately 2:52 a.m., proving that I, indeed, will stop at nothing to bring the world the most mediocre video game podcast ever put to digital tape. Here I am. So, Santa's got a gift for you. It's sadness and loneliness. That's sure to last until the new year. All throughout the rest of this year. I mean, that's only like 6 days from now, so that's not exactly a bold prediction. But, you know, since I have a hunch that nobody at all, I mean, like literally nobody's actually going to listen to this on Christmas Day, unless you're, you know, a Jew. In which case, I mean, happy Jew year. I mean, all the holidays, all the festivities. I told you this was a special episode. I'm rolling it all into one. Kwanzaa, fucking Hanukkah, Chinese New Year, all of it. Because it is episode 180 after all, and there will never be another episode 180. That's how special it is. I can guarantee you that. I'll never do another episode 180 again. www.gruntfreepress.com. That's actually my gift to you this year, to my loyal listeners. That's your North Star in the darkness that is the rest of the internet. That's the one place left where free speech still exists. That would actually be a real boon, I think, to the culture war. If I had anything to say on there, if I actually wrote anything on there, but I don't. But it exists in concept. I just think it mostly dirty thoughts, you know. But just knowing that it's there, if I really wanted to put it out there to the world, I could. So it's all that matters. You know, my on-air persona here is what I like to refer to as Christian absolute deicide. What really goes on in my head. Just nonstop nigger all the time. Like you wouldn't believe. I mean, that's probably the least of it. Except for today, actually, I'm thinking instead of nigger all the time, it's just Black Pete. It's fucking Black Pete's everywhere. You know, if you have something naughty to confess yourself, I mean, send it to the North Pole and do it care of podcast@gruntfreepress.com, because I have an entire workshop. It's full of tranny, midget, faggot niggers that would they'll build you an answer to your whatever question you send. They'll get right on it. And you know, I really wish I could not say, you know, the so-called hate speech words, because I feel like compelled to or whatever. But you know, every day as the world around me gets more and more faggotized, as, you know, I really have no choice. I mean, it feels kind of lazy on my part. Like, I'm not even fucking trying. I'm just like, this would be really lazy bullshit. But now it's like, hey, you know, me being a lazy piece of shit, somebody's got to do it. You know, I'll take the hits. I wish I could give my audience better content. But, you know, society is so fucking lame right now. I just really want no part of it. you know, I spent about 20 years of my life fucking rebelling against fucking, you know, just fucking like most people do, you know, like most people did, or just fucking any youth are just fucking like, oh, tear down the system and fucking religions, what's wrong with the world, and fucking, you know, buying into the whole like atheism thing, and everybody who believes in God is an idiot. But, you know, I just think that the pendulum has swung so fucking far in the other direction now, where it's just like, well, now, like, atheism is just, like, the new religion. You know what I mean? It's, again, it's like, statism and fucking power to the state and, you know, in the West anyway, yeah, power to any group or fucking ideology that can bring down, like, Christianity is fucking just like, oh, like, that's just the new Christianity. Like that's the new religion. Like, all the fucking idiots are fucking, that's what they do now. That's what the fucking unwashed masses are all about. And not in a bad way. Not even that. I mean, just, like, the fucking elitist fucking pricks are just fucking, they used to be like, oh, I'm going to hide behind, like, you know, religion and Christianity, because that's what will bring me power. Now it's like, well, I'm going to hide behind, like, tolerance and, you know what I mean, fucking statism. Like, that's what's going to give me power. That's the same fucking people. You know what I mean? It's just fucking, they're on the other side now. So, it's just really, really the same shit, you know, the same people or types of people that I can't fucking stand. And now I'm actually, at this point, now I'm fucking, like, rooting for religion and family and Christianity. So, yeah, I think I'm reborn, on this holiest of holy days, the day our Lord was born. So you might accuse me of being a contrarian for the sake of being a contrarian, you know, but I'll still tell you to go fuck yourself. I mean, I'm still fighting the same war against stupid fucking people and, you know, the brainwashed fucking indoctrinated scum. You know, it's just at this very moment, I mean, those ain't the people going to fucking church, you know, every week or whatever. Like, those people aren't the problem that are doing that. Yeah, you know, now it'll be a righteous, God-fearing violence and destruction on my part, just like the good Lord intended. So, again, just, you know, praise baby Jesus on his birthday, and may God have mercy on your faggot asshole, for I am reborn, absolute deicide, death to the other gods, I guess, the false idols is what I'm going after, like Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, because what the fuck is up with that game? What's the joke there? I don't know. Everywhere I look, it's fucking, the game's breaking all these fucking records of, you know, sales records, and the Switch sales are through the roof because everybody wants this one game, and review scores I've seen are all fucking like nines and tens, and oh, it's the best fucking whatever, best in the series of a fucking series of games that was already amazing, and blah blah blah, and you know, then I play the fucking game. I don't know. I'm just not seeing it. I don't know. I mean, I get like the fan service, like kitchen sink appeal of it. It's like, oh, you know, I'm going to bring all these characters into the same game and having them fight each other. And, you know, there's a shitload of content in there in the game for sure. I mean, it's plenty to keep you busy, but I'm playing the fucking game. It's just, I don't think it's very good. It's not a very good game. You know, I finally unlocked Simon Belmont, which was really the only reason that I bought the game in the first place. And, you know, I play a couple standalone matches with him, like, trying out his moves, and I get, like, the initial rush of, like, oh, man, this is fucking, like, awesome, you know what I mean? I'm just controlling this character that I like from all these other games and shit, and, you know, the Castlevania games, like, oh, you can throw an axe, like in fucking Castlevania, you can whip straight up and fucking, you know, whip around and throw holy water on the ground and that fucking stuns people and shit and, like, locks them in place and lets you get, like, a combo off. I'm like, oh, this is fucking cool, you know what I mean? I could fucking, it's like, oh, this is what I was looking for in this game. It's cool. I get this fucking Simon Belmont, awesome. I take him, I go through, like, story mode, you know, like, the classic mode there, the story mode, and even that, I'm like, all right, again, it was, like, the character I'm most looking forward to. I'm like, oh, cool, dude, you know, they did a really good job, like, shoehorning the Castlevania theme into like Smash Brothers, like taking it and putting it into this fighting game. And you know, the castle stage they have that you're fighting on is cool, and you know, the music's great, obviously. And it's like, oh, dude, this again is fucking, oh, I get it, dude. If I, you know, it's like, if I liked every one of these other fucking Nintendo characters and shit, like if I felt that way, like, oh, this game would be awesome. Obviously, I don't. I don't think anybody really does. You couldn't be that hardcore of a fan. Like, you know, fucking 20 years of like, it was like, oh, 20 years of all of this is my favorite series. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anybody's like, oh, like one or two of them maybe I can pick out. But like, oh, it's cool. I can go through like this again with fucking Simon Belmont. But, yeah, so it's like, yeah, you go through like it's got like the same music. You're going through Castlevania themed levels and shit on a story mode. And there's one level where you either fight like you either fight against, or you're summoning like Alucard. I think you summon him like he's fucking like fighting by your side. I don't think he's a playable character in the game. I don't believe like you can't like unlock him. But it's just like, oh, it's just like a little whatever they call it, like assist trophies. Just I still don't understand the whole like how the whole assist trophy thing works in the game. I think it's just like random items that will appear in the world, of like a ball or something. You throw it down, like another character will appear to help you out for a little bit. I think that's what those are. But I don't know why it's not like it'd be like a special move. Like it'd be cool if it was like a special move of like, oh, you build up a meter and then fucking, oh, you summon Alucard for a little bit. Like that would be cool. It's not just fucking, I think it's just like random shit though. But I don't know. Again, they don't fucking explain how anything works in the actual game. So I don't know. But yeah, so the final boss that you fight as Simon is Dracula, and they actually make it play like it's a classic like Castlevania Dracula fight. Again, it's fucking like real cool. It's like awesome, dude. They fucking like put this in the game where, you know, he's opening up his cape, he shoots fireballs at you, and you fucking have to like, you know, jump out of the way of him, time him right and shit. He teleports around the room and shit. You have to aim for his head. And then like he even like changes into like his second form, you know what I mean? After you beat like regular Dracula, it's like, oh, they have like the Cookie Monster and shit, like fucking that's awesome, like, you know what I mean? Again, it's fucking real cool, like, oh, all this fan service shit is here, it's awesome they put it in there. Again, I'm like, dude, that's fucking amazing. Again, but I'm like, oh, this almost makes up for the rest of the game that I unlocked him and fucking go through that. But then I'm like, all right, cool. So I beat fucking Dracula and shit. That's the end of the story mode for Simon. The credits roll, and it's fucking, it's like, oh, well, that was awesome, but that took about, like, 10 minutes to get through, you know what I mean? It's like fucking whatever, like, 5 or 6, like, fighting game stages, you know, so like, a couple minutes apiece that you go through, and now what, you know what I mean? It's fucking, what, do I main Simon, and just fucking, like, I'm just gonna play him, and just do a bunch of, like, versus matches with him, and use the same fucking 4 special moves that he has over and over again. You know, it's not like I can use him in fucking like, it's like, oh, now he's unlocked. I can use him in like adventure mode and all that shit. It's like, I don't know, just, what a clusterfuck that thing is. You know what I mean? It's like, do I want to play like the story mode? Just like keep playing those same 5 stages over and over again. Like, you know what I mean? On like a higher difficulty or some shit. Not really, to be honest with you. I mean, it's fucking, it's like, oh, I've seen everything, you know what I mean? It's like, I went through it, all right, you know, fucking, I'd rather play a real Castlevania game now, you know, it's like, cool, this is in here and shit, but, I don't know, I'd rather play any other Castlevania game, like, even fucking Simon's Quest. Just like, I'd rather play any other fucking fighting game besides Super Smash Brothers. Even if I'm fucking terrible at them, you know what I mean? It's fucking like, just like, I'm not very good at fighting games. This one I'm not good at either, but I just don't really enjoy it. So anyway, Merry Christmas. So I actually did just that, and I played just a real quick. I played a little bit more of Soul Calibur 6 because, you know, I bought the season pass for that, and 2B came out from Nier Automata. She's a new character you can play as. And, you know, I hated Nier, too. I hated that game, fucking Nier Automata. I thought the game was fucking garbage. And, yeah, I know, I'm a real fucking gaming Grinch today, but just being honest, but whatever. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't like that game, but it's like, hey, you know, new character. And I was playing as her. I'm like, dude, she's actually really fun to play. You know, she's got, like, a fucking diagonal projectile attack that comes out, like, pretty quick you can use. And Yeah, if I do my usual mash the buttons for a little bit, as I do with fighting games, the fucking, you know, the normal fucking press vertical attack button a bunch of times, like that method. It's like, yeah, I do that with her, and like, dude, she's doing some fucking good combos. It looks fucking cool and shit. And I went through fucking like the arcade mode with her. I was like, dude, this is fun. You know what I mean? For some reason, she doesn't have like a story mode, like timeline for her. Which, I mean, that kind of sucks. I mean, the other DLC character, I think, is Tira. I mean, she came out when the game was out. I think you'd have the season pass to play as her. It was like, dude, they gave her a fucking, you know, story mode, timeline, whatever. I mean, those aren't fucking great either. It's just fucking, again, just kind of like story. And like, you fight like a battle, story, a battle. It's like fucking, again, it's one of those things that takes like 5-10 minutes. But it's like, ah, this would have been cool to have for fucking whatever, 2B. And then, the other guest character too in the game, like Geralt, like you'd figure like him, like, yeah, they're not gonna really, well, why'd they put like a story mode with him? He's from like, you know, the Witcher universe. But they, you know, they did like a dumb little thing with him to make it fucking work. So it's like, I don't know, they tried with him at least, but whatever. Again, Soul Calibur, I still like enjoy playing. I think it's a fun game. I think it's much better than fucking Smash Brothers. But yeah, anyway, that is my fighting game, experience for the week. Yeah, I'm still kind of like, dude, like, I kind of, it's just whatever. It's like, dude, I play Smash Brothers, I'm like, this isn't fun. Like, I'm not having fun, but it's like, for some reason, I still feel a draw. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe I'm just buying into the hype still. I'm just fucking like, well, everybody else is having fun with this, I guess, even though I'm not fucking, you know, 8 or whatever. Maybe that's the problem, but I still don't understand why fucking like 8 and 10 year olds and shit would care about half those characters too. You know, like half those guys haven't had fucking good games in forever either. So I don't understand where the fan service comes in for children, you know. But I'm just like, there must be, again, I'm still just like, there must be something there I'm missing or whatever, dude. I don't fucking understand it. So I'm still just kind of like, you know, I'm playing fucking Pathfinder Kingmaker, like, almost exclusively. For I've been doing that for like the past like 2 weeks, but I'm like, I should take a break from this and just play something else to mix it up. I'm like, should I play Smash Brothers? Like, I don't really like Smash Brothers, but it's probably just because I have the fucking the fucking Switch hooked up. Like, that's what I have hooked up to the capture card. So I'm like, oh, if I'm gonna play a console, I could just play that. Whatever. The meat of it, the holiday ham, if you will, is Pathfinder Kingmaker. Yeah, just I'm completely hooked on the game. Pretty much all I've been playing for the past 2 weeks. You know, I said last week that it reminded me of the old 3.5 rule set Dungeons and Dragons games. And yeah, there's a reason for that too. I mean, it really is more or less the same thing as fucking 3.5 Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, I guess a lot of the people who worked on that, like, 3.5 fucking D&D, they kind of like split off and made their own like company or whatever. I forget the fucking name of it. I've heard it a million times, but no, I can't fucking remember it. But they split off and made, like, you know, the pen and paper game Pathfinder. They made it like as close to those old rules as possible, I guess, without being sued. And as I understand it, which is, you know, that's always the caveat with anything that I talk about on this fucking show, is as I understand it. I think the what they did, like, they just made like the Pathfinder rules, like all the rules are just like free. Like, you can just go online, just fucking look up, like, oh, here's Pathfinder, like, whatever. It's just everything you need to play the game is right there on like their website or whatever. And you can just do this. That was another thing with fucking Dungeons and Dragons. I remember when I fucking played it, is of like, well, I'm going to play, you know, want to get together and play Dungeons and Dragons. It's like fucking, well, you need like this book. And they're fucking like wicked expensive books. Like, it's $50 a piece. You know what I mean? For like fucking like the you know, the Dungeon Master's Guide is like $50. The Player's Handbooks is like 30 or 40. Then it's fucking like, well, then like each class has its own fucking handbook, which is another like $20 or $30, and then like all these different like modules and shit. So it just got like crazy expensive, like trying to fucking keep up with that shit. And so fucking, oh, well, we've updated, like, you know, again, it's like, oh, here's 3.5, but then here's like 3.5 like second edition and blah blah blah. So it's like another $50 for the books and shit, and that shit got crazy. So I mean, again, if these like asterisk, as I understand it, if like these guys, like, well, we're just gonna do like branch off and just make like a better Dungeons and Dragons and call it Pathfinder and have it be pretty much the same thing, but you know, do away with that shit is fucking like, you know, good on them. Like, I really like that shit. But again, as I understand it, you know, they give away all the rule books online for free, and it's like, I don't think it's really like open source. Like, I don't think you just any, I don't think like anybody can make it, you know, just be like, oh, I was gonna make a Pathfinder fucking video game or whatever and like sell it. Like, you would probably have to go through them to have it like officially licensed, but I think you can just fucking like just take their rules or whatever and just be like, well, this is whatever I made it, you know, I made a game, like a, you know, pen and paper or a video game, whatever, using like, we just call it like Pathfinder rules, and like that's fine. Like, I think that's, again, just, I'm just kind of might be reading into shit that I keep hearing, you know what I mean, just kind of like through osmosis or whatever. But yeah, I think they just kind of like let people take their rules and just be like, well, I'm going to use this, or maybe just, you know, modify them a little bit or whatever, and just kind of like publish their own shit and like do whatever. Again, just might, if you're actually going to do that, maybe look into it first. But just from what I understand, I was just fucking like listening to different podcasts and games and shit, I'd be like, well, it's very common to see, like, you know, again, as casually as I am into following tabletop RPGs, you hear a lot of like, we're using Pathfinder rules or fucking like D20 rules a lot, and it seems to be like kind of like the standard preferred way to play RPGs nowadays among the nerds. I mean, so you'll hear like, oh, we're gonna play like Shadowrun, but we're gonna use like Pathfinder rules when we play it. Like, even though I know for a fact that Shadowrun is like, the actual game is like much simpler rules than fucking like Pathfinder does, you know what I mean? Like, I just think like everybody knows, again, it's just like the standard, like everybody knows, I guess, like all the fucking nerds know, I guess, who play like tabletop pen and paper RPGs, are just, it's like the standard is like, oh, this is like the, again, like the popular one was 3.5 Dungeons and Dragons, and now fucking it's just like Pathfinder is like a almost the same thing. So it's just like, all right, well, if we're gonna play that, like, this is just like the standard that group of nerds understands, I guess, you know what I mean? So it's fucking, well, we're just gonna play pretty much playing in the Shadowrun universe, but with Dungeons and Dragons rules, pretty much. So I don't know, but what I don't understand is fucking, you know, it's simplified D&D, right? Which sounds good, because, you know, Dungeons and Dragons was always fucking like way over my fucking head for the most part. Again, I'd play these fucking video games, but as far as like opening up, like, I own like the fucking Dungeon Master's Guide and fucking like trying to make any kind of sense out of that. Like, that always seemed like impossible. Of just fucking like, how does anybody make sense out of this and just fucking like make a game out of it? It just seems like just a, I don't know. Again, I've been listening to multiple podcasts where groups are running real games of their own. And like every fucking one of them is always just, you know, they have like these modified house rules, you know what I mean? Of just fucking, so I'm not like the only one, clearly, but it's like, this is just like, they actually just like follow every rule in this book and try to make it work is pretty much impossible. You know, it's like you just have to like pick and choose what you got to do and just do your own thing. But I mean, the general, like when you hear people say like, oh, well, Dungeons and Dragons or whatever, like these fucking pen and paper RPGs, it's usually like fucking like, oh, those are for like kids or like kids play them, like, you know, like on fucking like Stranger Things or every other fucking pop culture reference about it. It's always like, oh, you know, these 12-year-old kids fucking playing, and then like they're arguing about fucking rules, and they open up the fucking rule book and, oh, see here on page blah 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 on this table, like shit like that, you know what I mean? You know, it's +2 to the armor class of a knight and like shit like that. Like, it's just fucking like, you're supposed to actually know that, but again, as I understand it, this is fucking like, well, there's just like a role-playing culture of just fucking this, you know, generally accepted rules, I guess. But, you know, you read the fucking rules yourself, and it just seems like the book version of it is always so fucking vague, and there's just a lot of math, which would be fine if it was just like, oh, here's like the math of like, you know, simple attacks or whatever. It's just like, here's some tables that you can reference when you're doing like combat and shit like that. If it was just like a straight up like combat, like dungeon crawling game, like, you know, if this is like, you know, wargaming type thing, if, you know, roll this many dice to attack and see if you hit and how much damage do you do, just like, you know, like a fucking battle simulation type thing. It's like, yeah, that would make sense. But yeah, as soon as you bring like the role playing element into it, I mean, in one breath, people will say, like, you know, the there's no such thing as a bad character build, and fuck, you know, it's up to the GM to make sure everybody's having fun and make sure the players are fucking, you know, role playing justifications for all their stats and all this shit. And then they'll talk about like fucking like, oh, well, when I make my character build, you know, it's just, it's very strict about how it should be done, and fucking, you know, these feats are trash and never take these fucking ones, even though, you know, it's like a possibility for it. It's like, oh, don't ever take that one. And, you know, there's no reason why you shouldn't take like this ability every time and, oh, you know, dump all your attribute points into this here. You know what I mean? You know, it seems like the entire thing's a contradiction. You know, it's fucking stat and math based, but it's not. You know what I mean? It's just like, well, then you have to kind of, you know, fudge it or, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? These rules are like, you have to like go by the book, but then other ones just kind of, you know, just make sure to move the story along. It's, you know, it's fucking like, well, I don't know. I mean, the main goal is to have a fun experience with your friends and be social, but also don't fuck up your character or everybody's got to be mad at you. You know, like shit like that. I don't know. Yeah, which is why I'm fucking antisocial and I would never really play a fucking tabletop RPG in real life. And video games like Pathfinder, Kingmaker are perfect for me. So I don't have to deal with the human element, human interactions. So, yeah, you remember how it was on that whole kick a couple months ago before like the Call of Cthulhu game came out? Yeah, I'm kind of getting into fucking like the non-video game fucking weeds here, but yeah, when that Call of Cthulhu game was coming out and fucking, you know, I bought the fucking like that fucking rule book or whatever, like that Dungeon Keeper's guy, whatever the fuck, the Keeper's Handbook, like that thing, and it's fucking, again, it's fucking just a beautiful fucking book, and it's great, it's cool to fucking like flip through, and as, you know, started to read it and try to understand it. Because I, you know, I thought fucking that Call of Cthulhu game was going to be that, that in-depth, you know, type of, like an actual RPG going by, you know, following these rules and giving you all these options and stats and shit. I mean, probably because they made a big deal about that game being, it's like, oh, this is like the officially licensed fucking Call of Cthulhu game. And, every preview of the game was focused on, you know, how the stats you picked would affect the game. And then I played the actual game and it was pretty disappointed because it was just fucking, it's like, yeah, it's an RPG, but it's like, here's like these RPG in quotes with like fucking like, you know, here's like these 10 different skills you can put points into. And most of the skills barely affect fucking anything in the fucking game. So I just kind of wasted all my time like reading through this fucking rule book and like getting all hyped about that type of thing. But anyway, yeah. So Pathfinder like is that game, or is fucking like, no, this is, we're going to take these pen and paper rules and we're really going to like stick to them as much as we can to make a game out of it. I mean, you're almost fucking better off trying to understand the rules before you even try to like go into the video game, you know what I mean? Otherwise it's fucking like overwhelming, you know, like fucking, now I'm listening to a podcast called Pathfinder Academy, and it's hundreds of episodes long of this fucking in the show. And they reach about, you know, an hour or so long for each of them on average. And it's, you know, breaking down like combat and fucking skills and different classes and spells and all that shit, you know. It's just and it's actually, you know, it's just fucking like, this is, again, just, it's just a long fucking process of trying to learn it, and it's, but it's actually like useful information to take into the game, you know, into the video game even. And, you know, it kind of tells you how crazy that shit is, because, you know, they have to call it an academy because it's like, dude, it's like a, this is a rule set you kind of have to like study, you know, you have to like study it. And even like listen to that show, like half the time the hosts on there, the guys are like, yeah, like I don't even fucking deal with this fucking, this stat again. I'm just fucking like, well, here, you know, here's like this academy to help you understand these rules. But then it's fucking like, oh, these rules are too complicated. Like I just ignore this part. I just fucking, you know what I mean? I fucking don't bother with this. Like, this is fucking like crazy. I'll fucking, you know, you're never going to use this. And this is fucking, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Again, just like a contradiction of just fucking, I don't know, culture of role-playing games, I guess. You know, this is how it's like fucking a lot. It's like, this is how I interpret this spell, because it's fucking, you know, I was listening to one, they were just fucking like, all right, we'll start going over like the spells. And I always had trouble with just fucking like, you know, reading like descriptions for like all these spells. And it's fucking like, this sounds very vague and just, you know what I mean? Could mean fucking anything. And there's fucking like, well, this is how I interpret it. Like, oh, like fireball is like the best fucking spell in the game and blah blah blah, maybe, but you know what I mean? And somebody else could interpret it and be like, yeah, I don't know, just fucking doesn't do as much as you think it does, or like, you know, well, obviously it can't do this, but it can do this. And you know, then they try to like get specific in the description of fireball. Fucking, well, it doesn't have like it doesn't create a vacuum and like all this shit. You know what I mean? It's fucking just like they try in the description of the spell to fucking like take away like certain things that you might be able to do with it. But then it's fucking like, you know, I don't know, very fucking, again, still kind of vague and up to interpretation, which is why the video games are good. But anyway, so yeah, so don't be scared off by that, because in video game form, nothing is left up to interpretation. It's just fucking like, you know, what the game sets as rules. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? That's what I like about it anyway. So, again, if you're borderline fucking autistic like me, it's your lucky day. It's like Christmas. Well, wait a minute. It is Christmas. Holy shit. You know, sometimes things just line up like that. It is the divine will of our creator, our Lord and Savior.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus and as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. Just face the music, you're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I would insert you with a 39.5-foot pole. You're a fire one, Mr. Grinch. You got termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Well, given the choice between the two of you, I would take the seasick crocodile. Skunk, Your heart is full of unwashed socks and your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three best words I would use to describe you are as follows, and I quote:
Stag! 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 Yeah! Oh, yeah,
Welcome back to the Christmas episode 2018 of the Grunt Free Press podcast. So, yeah, Pathfinder, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be the rest of your Christmas. So, you know, it's fucking how it goes. You know, you might not want to be with your family the entire time, the entire day. You'd rather be home playing with your toys, you know, playing with your new video games and shit, but, you know, you have to just bear with it, you know, just kind of grin and bear it for the rest of the day until you can be free and do what you want. It's just a part of the deal, you know. So, yeah, I went over a little bit last week. I mean, you make your protagonist, or you look at the million different skills and abilities you can choose from for your protagonist, then Just kind of blindly pick some stuff and hope for the best. But, you know, it is a party-based RPG, meaning you're always going to have full control over multiple people when you're playing. So it's not one of those deals where the guy you create is going to become, like, godlike and you're going to out-level your companions, or they're going to get, like, fucked up and die eventually because they're going to stop being, like, useful. I mean, you're working together with your team, you know, your skills kind of complement each other. You're filling specific roles. You're not, you know, it's not necessarily like, you know, tank, DPS, healer, but something similar to that. I mean, like, you want somebody, people who can heal when you're on your fucking party, you know. You want people who can do fucking damage and shit, and like utility, and someone who can pick locks and shit like that. But you're not, like, the guy you create isn't going to be able to do all that. It's like, no, you're doing your role and whatever. So, I mean, of course, you're going to be building the party up around the guy that you made, just and give him the best armor and, like, the best equipment that you can. It's going to go to him first just because, you know, like, he's the main guy, like, you made him and shit. But, you know, as much as I've done a deep dive into the lore, I mean, like, for real this time, like, I've actually spent a lot of time just, like, reading, like, everything and just, like, all right, you know, I get it. So as much as I've done that, I mean, you'll have to, like, kind of excuse me if I'm a little bit fuzzy on what happened in the early parts of the game, because I am about 50 hours into it at this point I've been playing. But, you know, basically you're a part of a group that's looking to colonize the Stolen Lands, which is a wild area in this fucking complex world that's made up of, you know, all these fucking political factions and fucking fiefdoms and all that, which I'm not going to detail, but a baroness or a queen or something like that wants you to go get some fucking artifact MacGuffin, and she says she'll reward you for your effort. So, you know, you're an adventurer, so I mean, you pretty much just go off adventuring. And there's some friction in the party at the beginning. Like, one guy in particular is a real dick, so he splits off on his own, and he tries to, he's like, oh, I'm gonna find the artifact first. So he kind of splits off, and he tries to persuade some of like your party to come along with him. And they'll either defect to him, or they'll stay on your side, depending on your dialogue choices you made up to that point. And, you know, they have, like, the standard, like, you know, again, like, Dungeons and Dragons fucking alignment graph of, like, you know, chaotic good, lawful good, you know, true neutral, fucking chaotic evil, all that shit. And the morality of your character will shift depending on your actions and your dialogue choices, and, you know, your companions that you have will either like or dislike the choices that you make depending on their alignment. So, you know, they can, like, eventually leave you if you stray too far from their ideals. So, yeah, I mean, you set off on your adventure. I mean, they give you, like, an overworld map that is, you know, it's covered in, like, a fog of war until you move along the roads and start to, like, uncover it. And, you know, you're represented on there as, like, a sort of like a board game piece. And, you know, it'll have an arrow will pop up of, like, oh, you know, here is, like, the path you're on, like, which road you want to take. And you just, you know, click the arrow and... your guy, the piece fucking moves along until you come to, like, another crossroads. And then you pick a path to take because, you know, you are the pathfinder. And, you know, points of interest will pop up every now and then. I mean, like you might have a quest to, like, you know, go search the dwarven ruins, and there will be an icon on the map with a question mark on it where that location is on the map, but you have to find your way there by, you know, moving that piece around the roads, like, in, you know, try to, like, point in that general direction until you find a road that'll take you there. And doing that takes time, you know, both fucking in-game time and, you know, real life time. Fucking, like, I have to, it's not like just point and click and go, or like fast travel. It's like, no, you have to travel there, like, physically go there. And as you're doing that, as you're traveling, the characters in your party will get fatigued, which will, you know, it's like a status effect that will give them a penalty on some of their stats. I think it's like -2 to their strength and dexterity, and, you know, maybe some other bad shit too or whatever. So, I mean, you're going to have to be stopping to rest a lot. It's pretty simmy in that fucking respect. We need to fucking stop and rest. You have to, like, sorry, so now I have to, like, make camp, and I'm going to need rations for the night. You know, you have to fucking, like, eat before you fucking sleep for the night. So it's like, so you can physically carry around rations with you in your bag, but those are pretty heavy. And, you know, there's a very strict encumbrance system in the game too. So it's like, all right, so I can carry them around, or you can just, like, hunt. You can have, it's like, I want to assign this character in my party to go hunt food, which will give you the rations that you need, but, you know, that's going to add on the time that you need to take rest to rest. So it's like, oh, it might take like 5 hours to fucking hunt before you can even rest for 8 hours. You know what I mean? And it might, you know, it might take longer or whatever, depending on how well that person that you assign to hunt, like, does. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's a lot of systems in Pathfinder. It's like systems upon systems. So you want to rest, you fucking pull up the camp menu and you assign the characters in your party to different roles. Like, you know, who's going to hunt, who's going to try to camouflage the camp so you don't get attacked in your sleep. Who's gonna attempt to cook a meal. Which will give your party a buff depending on what the meal is. You know, it's like a list, you know, you're finding, like, recipes as you're playing. It's like, all right, we'll learn this recipe, and then, like, you need the ingredients. So it's like, fucking, like, whatever, I want to make shepherd's pie, you need, like, corn, a potato, and, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, like, carry the shit around you in your bag. And then there's also a slot for, like, additional bonuses, which is, like, will be, like, a unique skill for whatever character you put in that slot. So it's like, whatever, you know, there's some, like, paladin chick, and, you know, you put her in and she'll have, like, maintain armor or whatever for her. It'll just give her, like, a buff of, like, oh, now she has, like, a higher armor class or whatever for, you know, the next day or whatever. Then you also need to assign, like, a guard, or two guards. Like, you need, like, a first and a second shift guard to watch over the camp. And, you know, it's like certain NPCs are better at certain roles, so they'll, you know, have better chances to pass each check because they're, you know, they're dice rolls, you know what I mean? So it's fucking, yeah. I mean, even fucking, like, just resting is complicated in the game. It's not just like, I'm just going to rest for 8 hours and, like, that's it. And fucking, like, it just pops up and you're done. So, you know, you have to go through, like, this process of assigning people and all that shit, going through menus. But it's like, you know, you need to do it. So through like just like repetition and just like sheer fucking force of will, I guess, you know, it'll make sense after you do it a couple times. You know, if you fail the camouflage check, you're probably going to get attacked as you're resting. So it was just fucking like, oh, you know, a pop up will come up like, oh, you know, you get attacked while you're resting. And then it's fucking like, all right, you're in like a fucking like random map in the woods somewhere usually. And it's fucking like, oh, it's like goblins or whatever attacking you. And you know, if that happens, like some of your characters will be sleeping with that when it starts. And, also like if they're, I think in camp, like you can't wear medium or heavy armor. So it's like, well, you get attacked as you're, you know, so it's, if it's going to be more difficult and, there's that too. But you know, for the most part, I think like the random battles they throw at you in the game, like I haven't really run into any that are exceedingly difficult. I mean, it's usually just fucking, like, bandits or goblins or some bullshit that, like, will explode after you hit them a couple times. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of it at first, it just seems like it's like, man, that's kind of like an unnecessary annoyance, like, having to stop to camp all the time. But it actually really works well with the game's magic system, where it's just, like, old school. You have to pick your spells for the day. For, you know, here's like your spell book is what you have like available to you. It's like, what do you want to use the next day? You have to pick them, put them in your slots, and you have to rest for fucking 8 hours before you can even use them. So it's like, well, all those fucking guys that use magic are gonna have to fucking rest anyway. So it's like fucking like, well, here's like again like this system where you're getting like more buffs and shit too on top of that. So you know, once you use your spells, you're gone until you rest again. So, you know, it's that hard school, hardcore fucking rule set, you know, and fucking, you know, Pathfinder preserves all of that. Well, you know, it also kind of just because they do that, they kind of like make you like rest all the time. It's like, well, it kind of makes it more user friendly too, at least. You know, you're not going to like forget. It's like, oh, I forgot to fucking rest for the day and regenerate my spells. It's like, I'm like, well, I'm just resting all the time anyway. And again, it's fucking, I'm getting like these boosts from like cooking and shit too. So, or, you know, random battle will pop up. It's like, yeah, they're pretty easy though. You're going to get like some experience from it too, like a little bit. So, and all your magic users too, like they'll use all their, healing spells automatically before you go to sleep too. So it's like, yeah, that's kind of a concession too, I guess, where it's fucking like, oh, well, you know, I forgot to fucking like, you know, use these before the day was up or whatever. I had these spells in. It's like, no, like that shit's pretty much automatic, you know? Again, it's like overwhelming and kind of like painfully slow at first, but yeah, once you get to like the pacing of it and just appreciate the complexity and the number of options the game is giving you. Yeah, even if you don't like really take advantage of all of it, as far as fucking like, I don't know, dude, like I just fucking forget to fucking like cook like a good meal or whatever. It's like, whatever, man, it's fucking, it's there, you know what I mean? So, sounds a little Red Dead familiar to me in that respect. If you can pick up what I'm throwing down there, wink, wink. So yeah, I mean, you're searching for an artifact or something. And, you know, that one dickhead is your rival. So, you know, of course you run into him on your travels, you know, you're hot on each other's trail, like it's an Indiana Jones movie. Yeah, you end up fighting him because, you know, it also turns out that he's like a spy for a rival faction, like a rival house of the one, you know, the lady that sent you out to fucking get the artifact in the first place. And he's a dick, so, you know, you end up fighting him and get the artifact, take the artifact back to the Baroness, and she rewards you for your efforts by giving you a kingdom in the Stolen Lands. Hence the subtitle of the game, Kingmaker. So yeah, up until like that point, you know, it's been like, again, it seems like, oh, it's going to be like a fairly standard throwback CRPG, right? You know, a fucking overworld map, you're traveling around, you like finding named locations, investigating the locations, you're accepting quests, just going out and doing the quests, and, you know, all well and good. But yeah, now you have, you know, you have like your own kingdom you have to manage. So, you know, there's like a whole macro layer to like the RPG cake on top of that. So, you know, now there's another fucking menu screen you have to deal with, you know, where you can fucking, it's like, all right, now I have to look at like my resources coming in, what's my economy look like, you know, the fucking the loyalty of your subjects. You assign management roles to your companions. You know, it's like fucking like, all right, you take like your group, like the pool of characters you have, you can take with you on, out on your fucking, out in your party, and it's fucking the same people. Are like, all right, I'm going to assign one guy for the economy, one for the military, one to do like whatever, diplomacy, etc., you know, and fucking events will pop up over time. It's fucking, it's like, now you have to like, all right, now I have to assign one of these advisors to take care of it for you. And, once you click, you know, once you try doing that, like once you attempt it, it's going to cost you like a kingdom's resource called BP. I don't know what that stands for. Just that fuck. It's like, all right, you just generate a certain amount of it every week, and you know, you'd spend them, you spend those points to attempt to do these projects or the events or whatever. And the projects you're attempting, I mean, they can like tie up your advisors for like weeks or like a month or whatever. So, and you're not like guaranteed to like pass them or anything. There's fucking, it's again, it's like a dice roll. It's like a difficulty check for each one. And the different advisors that you pick have like different, bonuses to pass the roll. So it's like fucking, well, this one in this certain instance is going to have like, you know, plus whatever, plus five, or this one is plus eight, but the plus eight one's like busy doing something else. So it's like, do you want to risk fucking trying to do it with the lower bonus one or whatever? So, yeah, you know, you're spinning some fucking plates there. And once again, it seems really fucking complicated at first, but you just, basically you just fucking look at the different projects you can do and read what the effects will be if you pass them, and just fucking, you know, if you have the resources to spend and the person you need's like available to fucking go do it. It's like, whatever, attempt it, see if it goes. If you pass it, you pass it. If you don't, you don't, whatever. And then again, that's just kind of going off on in the background. You know, you set it and fucking forget it, kind of. And then you go off on your merry way adventuring like fucking normal. Anyway, until like, you know, a notification will pop up, or it's like, oh, the project fucking succeeded or failed, and it's like, all right, I'll try another one. It's not like your advisors that you pick that they can still like come out with you in your party and shit. It's not like they're tied up to the capital or whatever. It's like, oh, well, they're doing their project, so they're just fucking can't fucking come with you or whatever, you know what I mean? If they can, you know, it's just something that running in the background that just advances the main story, really. Like, again, the macro story as you fucking frees you up to go off and fuck around in the meantime doing, you know, adventurer stuff. The only thing that still confuses me there, well, I guess not like the only thing, but, you know, it's Christmas, so we won't get too negative. Yeah, I'm not going to spend the entire celebration of our Lord baby Jesus's birthday explaining that I'm half retarded. I'm just as the Lord made me. So yeah. So what confuses me is you know, how you have access to the kingdom tab there when you're out and about on like the overworld map, but yeah, I mean, you're not in like the capital city. At least, like, yeah, I'm on the overworld map. I'm out fucking adventuring, and like sometimes it seems like it's fucking like straightforward. Is where it's fucking like I'm on like the, you know, the big map, like moving that piece around, and there will be like a square in the bottom right that'll pop up and say like, it says like kingdom. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, so you click on that, and you have like access to all the projects and stats and all that, as if you were like in the capital, like in the throne room, like looking at like, there's like a table or whatever, like a war room or whatever, a project table you look at, and it brings up that menu. It's like, well, you know, from on the overworld map, it has that icon there I click on and pulls that all up. So whatever, you know what I mean? Fucking seems straightforward. And then sometimes it's not there, and like I have like no clue why it's there sometimes it's not, or how I'm supposed to get it back. I mean, you'd think it would just be like a hotkey. I would just like pull up the menu. Like it'd be like K for Kingdom or something maybe, but it's not K. I looked at like the controls or whatever, and as far as nothing there that says like what key it is to bring up the fucking thing, to bring up the fucking Kingdom menu. No mention of it anywhere. So, I mean, maybe it's not supposed to pop up when there are no like new events going on or something like that. But I mean, that would make sense to me. Again, where they just wanted to be like, oh, just like forget it, just go do your thing, and then when something important comes up, we'll pull up the fucking that menu for you. That'd be fine. But I don't think it's that either, because like sometimes it's there and sometimes it's there with a big red exclamation point on it, and that's what that red exclamation point means, is that this, you know, like a project finished or whatever. Or new ones available. So it's not that, or like, I'm thinking like, oh, maybe you have to be like maybe it's only available when you're like physically within like the boundaries of your kingdom, which would kind of make sense, but I'm not even sure about that either, because like, yeah, the boundaries of where your kingdom, like the, you know, it's like you have the map, then it's like, you can go to like another map. I'm just, it'll be like highlighted of like, oh, here's your fucking kingdom right here. It's just like the land that you own or whatever. But even that's like not even like defined very well. It's fucking like you have to pull up like another map to see that. And it's, I don't know, it's weird. But anyway, all that really means is that after a while, is you just have to be like, you know, I've been out adventuring for a while. Maybe I should just head back to my fucking capital city and just check out, you know, just take care of some kingdom business for a little bit. So yeah, I mean, that can be kind of annoying sometimes, where it's fucking like, well, I'm off on like the outskirts somewhere, where I'm trying to like explore some fucking roads and shit, and then you get like a, you know, you get like the pop-up message saying like somebody's in the capital that requests like an audience with the Baron, and you know, you have to just try to like get there quick enough. But it's fucking like, well, I'm almost at this other spot too, so do I want to like abandon what I'm doing and rush over there? And you know, if you don't get over there quick enough, your kingdom starts to take like they have like a stat hit on like loyalty or something like that. So I mean, you have to plot a path back to the capital, and it's fucking like, oh, you know, it's going to take like 3 days to get there, which means you're probably gonna have to like stop and rest three times on the way, which is going to add like more game time, you know. But I mean, it does seem to work out so far, where it's like, they give you like plenty of fucking time to like, you know, do all the side quests and go out and like, whatever. It might seem like, oh, I have to rush back, but it's like, well, now I rushed back and took care of that, and now I have nothing really to do in the capital for a long time. So I'm going to go out again and something might pop up again, but it just seems like, I don't know, you have plenty of time to go and dick around. Plenty of time to do all like the side quests and explore the map on your own, and where I'm at in the game, at least, you know, again, 50 hours into it, it might come down to fucking like towards the end it gets fucking like crazy, bunch of shits popping up, and who knows, maybe they'll really fucking like squeeze you on the time and shit. But regardless of if the kingdom tab will pop up or not, I mean, you do have to go back to like the throne room to fucking like personally to fucking meet with people and make decisions and dialogue trees, and you know, use like diplomacy or intimidation or knowledge fucking checks of, you know, your character stats, the check of like fucking, you know, somebody's bringing a problem to you and like, all right, well, you have to talk to them, talk them down or whatever, and there's different skills to do that. So I mean, you're in theory, I guess, shaping what kind of kingdom you're ruling over, or making allies with other people, or declaring war on them. It still remains to be seen like how much of that plays into the game, like how much your decisions have in the long run. Again, I still have a feeling, even though I'm 50 hours into it, that I'm pretty early on still. I have a feeling I still have a fucking lot of game left there. But, you know, that's how it's presented, you know, like a herald from a neighboring land will show up and, you know, he'll like insult your military, and you can say like, you know, hey guy, you know, we're just getting off the ground here, and, you know, I appreciate the criticism. I'll take that, you know, what you have to say into consideration, just kind of like send him off, or you can fucking just like throw him in jail for insulting you, which would, you know, probably cause a war or something, or fucking, you know, get you on bad terms with your neighbor, that neighboring fucking kingdom or whatever. You know, or like a crazed prophet will, you know, he'll be escorted into the throne room by like the city guards, and he'll be spouting off like doom and gloom about how you defiled the lands and you insulted the elder gods. But yeah, because fucking Cthulhu's in the Pathfinder universe, by the way, he's there. And yeah, so yeah, that like, you know, they bring this fucking prophet in, and I had the chance to fucking, I'm like, all right, well, heard him out for a little bit and fucking like entertain his fucking ramblings, and it almost seemed like that could, like, I'm like, oh, this might like possibly be like a turning point, like a main plot point that's coming up here. But yeah, like it's like foreshadowing a bigger threat for the next chapter of, you know, maybe like, you know, you have to like bond together, ally together with the other kingdoms and fight like a bigger threat, which you would expect in most games of like what would happen. But yeah, instead I just kind of like use my religious lore skill to pass a check where I could talk them down and tell them like, you know, any god that would be upset about people like chopping down a few trees for roads or draining a swamp or two for like farming is a pretty, small and petty god. And like, you know, I passed that diplomacy check. The guy just kind of like snapped out of it and said like, yeah, you know, you're right, I guess, you know, thanks, I guess. And like that was it. So. And that's a big reason kind of why I love this game. Like, you never really know where anything's going to go. Like, oh, is this like a huge like problem here? Or is this going to be something I can like deal with like real easily? Like it could be like either way. And the tone of it too, and the fucking the choices that you get. I mean, not to get too big picture about it or look like too much into it or anything like that. But, I know we keep saying like, oh, it's old school, it's fucking like classic this or that, and you know, I mean that for like the writing too, where it's not like fucking like politically correct, it's not like deliberately being like offensive or fucking like edgy or anything like that. It's just, again, it's just like classic, you know. So you're not like fucking, it's not like, oh, you're not gassing the greedy merchant gnomes for a quest or anything like that. But I mean, they do give you like the option to be like a real asshole or even be like indifferent, you know, about shit, which is a complete fucking shock these days. You know, meaning that there's, you know, all these kingdoms and factions and races in the game, and, you know, the relationships and philosophies behind each of them are highly detailed in the game, but they're not like forced down your throat, you know. They're not like going for some bullshit modern day fucking like analog, you know. It's not like fucking like, oh, you know, the big bad fucking orange goblin king with small hands and or that hates fucking immigrants or anything like that. It's like actual like political like the game is like political in the game world, you know. It's not the developer's like lazy fucking virtue signaling propaganda, which is, again, unheard of these days. Now you meet these two slaves, Octavia and Ragnarar, as part of a quest, and, you know, they join your party, and you can get into their backstory and the relationship they have with each other. Or, you know, you can fucking like demonize slavery, or, what, you know, denounce fucking slavery in all its forms, and like, oh, I know, I'm glad I freed you guys. Or you can also just be like, yeah, you know, the world's fucking tough, you know, and fucking, or you can fucking attack them and try to kill them. Like, it gives you those options, you know. Or you can just like tell them to fuck off. Like, oh yeah, you guys are free, but I don't want anything to do with you guys. Like, fuck off. Yeah, you can also like hit on the elf chick, fucking Octavia, and like it seems like you're getting somewhere with her. And like, you know, if this is like any other modern contemporary RPG, you just know of just fucking like, well, I'm choosing the going down like the romantic tree, like the romantic options until you get to like an awkward cutscene where you fuck her or something. But instead, you know, you learn that like, oh, you know, these two are together, like her and the fucking Ragnarar together or whatever. But it's like, oh, you know, but they're also into like banging other people, like bringing other people into bed with them and fucking them together. And, you know, it's like, oh, you can get with her, but you're going to have to fucking like take this guy too and shit. And, you know, so it's fucking like, you know, mixed race polyamory, fucking just pretty progressive, right? You would think. But then it gives you the options to be like fucking like, well, that's fucking disgusting. Like I don't want anything to do with that, or fucking even more shocking. Again, these days to be like, no, I'm just fucking like, no, I'm not into that. I'm just fucking like straight monogamous fucking like sex. You know, I'm loyal to my partner, like stuff like that. That they give you the chance to be like nuanced about your responses. You know what I mean? It's not fucking just five different versions of like, oh, good for you. That's fantastic that you're fucking deviants and, you know, why don't you stretch out my fucking half orc asshole so I can prove how fucking non-judgmental I am. They're just like the writing is just like consistent about that. I'm just fucking like, it's not just fucking like nothing's like, you know, black and white, you know, it's not just fucking, or not even like black and white. It's not just fucking all white. You know what I mean? That's fucking the new way of writing stories. It's like, oh, everything's good. Like everybody's good in their own way. And you know what I mean? Like, oh, no judgment. It's like, no, you can make your guy pretty fucking judgmental and he can be pretty strong about his fucking shit. And, you know, all these fucking, like, social issues that come up. And, again, it doesn't feel like it's fucking, like, nothing feels like it's forced. Like, it's just, like, classical fucking, like, fantasy writing. It's just fucking, not, like, forced fucking. They'll still bring up, like, the social issues that fucking everybody thinks they're so edgy about now. But they're not fucking new at all. You know, every single one of those has been around probably since the dawn of man, you know, and only now the new thing is how fucking gay and closed-minded everybody is about them. Like another companion in your group is a barbarian chick, and you know she'll tell you her backstory about how she was a great hunter in a tribe, but none of the men took her seriously because she was a woman, and they told her to stay in the cave and make sandwiches for them. And, you know, you listen to her, and it's not, again, it's just, like, not pushing anything. It's just fucking, like, an interesting story, and she's a good character, and it's, like, fucking, you know, she's a good fucking fighter, too. It's, like, fucking, like, oh, that's cool, or whatever, you know, and I don't know what anybody else's thoughts are about having, like, two barbarians in the same party, you know, but fucking my character, Pissy Beard Stalking, and the barbarian chick, like them together, like both of them, like two barbarians on the fucking front line, we're fucking shit up pretty well. I mean, fucking monsters are just fucking exploding. Speaking of exploding, here's a pro tip for the game. Nothing that's gonna help you like tactically or help you with a class build or party composition or anything like that. Obviously, I mean, I'm not the one to fucking go to about that. More importantly, there's a blood patch for the game. It's under the DLC section in Steam, and it's free. You just download it, and you get fucking nice gory effects on characters as you do damage to them, and you know when you get critical hits and shit explodes, and when the fucking whole like monster like person that you hit just like explodes, it's fucking like Mortal Kombat levels of fucking like chunks. If you have like that patch, the DLC patch, they put steak sauce on the steaks. Very important to have that. So, you know, I think they did the same thing with like Total War, like what Total War did, where it's fucking like, they put out the game, they released the game with like no blood in it to get like a teen rating or whatever. And then then they put out the patch in quotes, you know, that makes it a fucking like bloody fucking like meat grinder and shit. I actually like that. I think that's smart. If you're playing the game, just don't overlook that patch exists, and don't overlook Pathfinder either. I know I'm doing like a piss poor job of explaining why it's good, but yeah, it's one of those games that you sit down to play, you get sucked into it, and then fucking 8 hours have flown by and you couldn't even begin to explain what you did in the game, because like the entire time you're just like so engrossed in it, and you're fucking like reading everything and like plotting out like your next fucking 8 moves ahead of what you want to do. And you're just gonna have to trust me on this one. It's a Pathfinder's fucking great. And yeah, I'm gonna spend the next fucking I'll probably spend next week blabbering incoherently about it too, so maybe that'll convince you then, I don't know. But it is Christmas, so I'll let you go spend time with your family. And I have to go spend time with my close family, Octavia and Pissy Beard Stalking, and Kay and Lindsay, Lindsay the Bard, and some scratch tickets for Baby Jesus. Gruntfreepress.com is the website. podcast@gruntfreepress.com is the email. I'm on Gab sometimes. Santa, peace on earth, happy new year, and may Aristotle guide you. Merry Christmas.
Expect me to cry for all the reasons you have to die. Don't ever ask your love of me. Don't expect me. Yeah.